Nation, a progressive review of news, politics, and culture brought to you by The Nation Institute. I'm your host and executive producer, Mark Cooper. Taya Grobo is co-executive producer. Mark Torres, technical director. Frank Scarpelli, engineer. Sarah Chamberlain is associate producer. You can find an archive of Radio Nation programs at The Nation website at www.thenation.com. Our email is radio@thenation.com. For more information on the show, call toll-free 1-800-710-9167. That's 1-800-710-9167. Radio Nation is a co-production of KPFK Los Angeles.
Tuned to High Five, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
Music is a mistake. It's the most noise, conveying the least information. See, I come from a silent world. I never heard my parents say, if we're going out to eat, let's find a quiet restaurant.
I don't drink coffee, I take tea, my dear. I like my toast on when I talk, I'm an Englishman in New York.
This is Quentin Crisp on WBAI in New York City. You have to work quite hard to understand the radio.
49 degrees, that's right, 49 degrees in New York City, and you are tuned to listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio WBAI at 99.5 FM. 1 minute, 2 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Stay tuned for Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton.
You know, Thursday is always a bittersweet day for me, I must tell you. It is my favorite day of the week of the program, this program being Talk Back, our gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas, heard here Monday through Thursday on WBAI 99.5 FM in the Big Sapo de la Nueva York. And I, by the way, am Hugh Hamilton, my audio engineer this afternoon, making his triumphant return to the boards, Mr. Michael G. Haskins, our station's chief announcer. So it's a bittersweet day because it's the day that I look forward to most. It's the day that we get to have at it it, so to speak, because, of course, it's Throwdown Thursday. It's the day when you get to decide what we talk about. And I know that I go through my mail every day that I come here, and I see so many, I see so much of your correspondence that says, well, look, you know, could you address this issue? Could you address that issue? Or you did not provide an opportunity for me to address this other one, and so on and so forth. And it's your day. It's Thursday. It's Throwdown Thursday. Whatever is on your mind, within reason, of course, that we can discuss this afternoon. Our telephone number, and I did notice that there were some people who had begun to call before 3 o'clock. Just let me say this. And therefore, I know that these are people who are regular listeners to the program because they already have the number memorized. Well, for those of you who are first-time callers or those of you who are listening to us for the first time wherever you are and you'd like to get through, here's the number before they take all the lines. They're almost all taken. The number is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Now, let me qualify my immediate past statement by saying this. I am by no means unmindful of, nor am I ungrateful for, the support and the patronage and the enthusiastic following that you have been given, you have been giving me on this program and giving to WBAI over the year that I've been here and over the years that this radio station has been serving our community. It's listener sponsored. It's commercial free radio. So I am really grateful to you for your continued support. I also do recognize, though, that ever so often I keep getting these calls on my voicemail here. How is it that X people can get through and I have been trying for months to get through? Well, the answer is I don't know. There is no trick to this. There is only one number. It's 212-209-2900. Some people, I suppose, are a little more persevering than others, and so they stay the course and they are able to get through eventually. Now, what do we do on Throwdown Thursdays? But I've also got a pile, I must tell you, I've also got a stack of mail here that I would love to share with you. But I am more or less, I'm still trying to figure out whether I should, and here's why. Because there's so much mail and there's so many comments and so many questions and so many issues about which you've asked me to, upon which you've asked me to comment, that if I were to do that, I think it would infringe unfairly upon the opportunity that we provide on Thursdays in the Thursday Throwdown for actual callers to get in touch with us. The problem is, when, if not on Thursday, when do I address some of the issues that you have raised, many of which are quite legitimate in my view? One of the things I would suggest is that you do try calling me at 212-209-2900. I know many of you are saying that you've been trying for a long time and you have been unsuccessful, but really, if you listen to the program as ardently as you claim to do in your letters, then I think it is reasonable to expect that you should be able at some point to get through to the program. I hope that you will be able to do so, because the one thing I don't want is to have a situation develop in which I end up simply going to the mailbag every other day in order to be able to catch up with some of your concerns and your observations, which, by the way, I welcome, and you are welcome to continue to send them. Many of them are extremely positive, and they are very buoyant to the spirit and to the soul. Some of them are intensely critical, and that's great also, because I love the criticism, constructive criticism, and I love the observations that you make, and there is really no need to apologize for disagreeing with me, because this is our gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas. My objective here, this is not a confessional, I am not preaching to a select constituency. In fact, what we're doing is engaging in a cross-fertilization of ideas so that hopefully we all at some point would walk away from this exercise in some way intellectually or otherwise enriched. So that's what we do here, and I want to thank you very much if you're in the great states of New York, New Jersey, in Connecticut, in parts of Pennsylvania, parts of Delaware, or if you are only now joining us on the World Wide Web, anywhere in the world, at www.wbai.org. Talkback is on the air. I am Hugh Hamilton, and we are happy to have you. When I return, we will get to your telephone calls immediately at 212-209-2900. Please try to keep them as succinct as possible, well, as concise as possible. Concise doesn't have to mean short. It simply means that you've got your ideas worked out, what it is that you want to say. We don't go on a fishing expedition because I'd really like to get to as many of our callers as possible. We've got a full board, wall-to-wall calls here on WBAI. It is now 10 minutes after 3 o'clock. Of course, if you are a regular listener to Talkback, you would have heard this Cheb Mami compact disc, the name of which is Delali, played, I believe, one day last week. But last Thursday, I forgot to indicate what is my pick of the week. And so I've got two picks of the week this week. And they're both from Cheb Mami's Delali, which is available on the, what's that, Mondo Melodia or Melodia, on that label. And that one, here are these words. I am reading now from the liner notes here. Well, not the liner notes. I'm reading from what is supposed to be a translation of the lyrics in this piece. Here's what it says. Never would and never have believed that existence would consist of suspicion and cupidity, that it would be so difficult to find real friends. A little later on in the program, should time permit, we are going to rejoin Cheb Mami from the compact disc Delali for another piece. My pick of this week of stuff that we've heard. It is now 15 minutes after 3 o'clock. This is Talk Back, and I'm Hugh Hamilton. And we're going out to your telephone calls at 212-209-2900. You are up first, and you're on the air. Good afternoon. Okay. False start. Good afternoon. You're up next. Okay. Let's see. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Good afternoon. Talk
Good afternoon.
Back. Yes.
Did you say that on this day people can choose a topic?
Absolutely. Within reason.
Of course. I think it would be very healthy to initiate a discussion of reverse prejudice. Don't
okay.
You?
What do you mean by reverse prejudice?
Well,
explain it to us.
I'm sure you understand what the term means.
No, but you're not
disingenuous.
Now listen to me. We're not only talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got thousands of people who are listening to you. Tell us what it is that you mean, sir, by reverse prejudice. By the way, to whom are we speaking?
Jim,
where are you calling from, sir?
Long Island.
Okay, yes, Jim. Tell us what you mean by reverse prejudice so that we can better define the topic if and when we should decide to pursue it.
Well, I'm sure everyone is familiar with the term prejudice, and specifically racial prejudice. And it's been a terrible blight on our society, and it's resulted in division. And it's often regarded as being prejudice that originates with white people in regard to people of color or people of different ethnic backgrounds. But I think it would be simple enough for anyone to acknowledge or to recognize that people of different ethnic backgrounds and skin coloration or even religious affiliation are often enough practices of prejudice
give
against
me,
white
Jim,
people.
Jim, give me an example of what you're talking about here. Give me a hypothetical example of what, in your view, would constitute an act of reverse prejudice warranting discussion at this in our forum.
A hypothetical example.
Yes, sir.
Well, for instance, a person who's speaking publicly, perhaps on the radio, perhaps on WBAI, this is hypothetical, of course.
Yes, of course.
And the person would speak disdainfully of white people in general. And as we can understand, prejudice is just a general hatred of people.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and this is what I'm referring to.
Okay, so you're saying if someone were to speak publicly and speak disdainfully of white people in general, this, in your view, would be an indication of reverse prejudice?
In a simple way, yes. I'm
okay.
Sure it can be elaborated on by our listeners. I have no doubt about that. But I'm sure it's not really a great reach of the imagination to accept and to acknowledge that many black people hate white people just because they're white.
Oh, I think that goes without saying, and this is why I'm going to ask you my final question now, and that is, what about racial prejudice, reverse prejudice, would you like us to discuss on this program? Would you like us to discuss the fact that it exists? I think that is true in the minds of most reasonable individuals. So once we get past the idea that reverse prejudice exists, or for that matter, that prejudice exists. Because, you see, I don't think of it as reverse prejudice. I think of it as prejudice. I think that to say it is reverse prejudice would indicate that prejudice can only come from one direction. Prejudice, by definition, I think, is a prejudgment of other persons on the basis of externally identifiable traits, such as race or skin color or apparent ethnicity or religion or whatever. So I could be prejudiced against Catholics, you could be prejudiced against Hindus, somebody could be prejudiced against Muslims and so forth. But once we've gotten to the point where we agree that prejudice exists, period, then what further would you like us to discuss?
Well, I can understand. I can accept the way you've placed that. And it seems more pertinent to the times to regard the prejudicial reaction against white people in general at the in the present day, because the effects are manifest in the economy, in terms of employment, government grants. There's a great deal of resentment toward white people, whether they're employers or co-employees. In education, the programs involving the equal assistance programs and that sort of thing. But I think our listeners could handle this very capably on their own.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I'm sure that there are many who are holding even as we speak, who would be more than willing to point out to you, and will probably be able to cite statistics in order to do so, to point out to you that what you describe as as reverse prejudice, which and in the examples you gave, which might be construed as being some form of reverse discrimination against white people.
And you can include just general hatred in
this
too.
Okay, in this country, I believe that there are many who would be more than willing to challenge some of your assumptions on this issue. But I want to thank you very much for
let's give it a go, Hugh.
Let's give it a go. Thank you very much, Jim. Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you are on the air. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon.
Yes, Mr. Hamilton. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm very well. Thank you. How do you do?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. To whom are we speaking?
My name is Arshad, and I'm calling from the city.
Good afternoon, Arshad.
Good afternoon to you, sir. I'm a regular listener to your program, and I appreciate the variety that you bring to the audience. Since we can pretty much pick and choose subject within reason, I wanted to find out what your opinion was regarding the economy. And in obviously the mass media is reporting that things are picking up and stuff, but overall I know for a fact that financial corporations are laying hundreds and thousands of people off. And I wanted to find out your opinion, obviously, was in regards to a midterm election and chances of that. Obviously, in mass media, reports are that Mr. Bush, you know, he's got a huge approval rating that's going on due to this war that's going on. But what about the economy? What do you think about that?
Okay, I'm really not sure that I understand your question, and but I'm going to say just two things.
Right.
And because this is really your opportunity to say what you think. But
sure.
If you ask me what do I think about the economy, I think that when I look around and I when I read the newspapers, when I listen to the radio, when I look at television, when I listen to anecdotal information that is shared with me by individuals who are currently employed in both the private and public sectors, I believe it is reasonable to assume that our economy is not at the moment doing as well as it was doing a year ago. I also think that the whole economic construct, and this is going beyond your question, is something of a matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So that it is all based on faith, I think. I'm not an economist, but I get the impression that the economy is all based on faith. And once you shake the faith, once you challenge the faith of the people who make the economy what it is, then you have a problem. So if you tell people that the economy is good, I think they behave in certain ways. If you tell them the economy is bad, I think they behave in certain ways.
Sure.
I'm not suggesting that there are not certain independent activities that take place economically, like how many buses are you making and how many, you know, how many tons of fabric are you exporting or importing, or
sure.
how many, you know, people are buying cars.
Right.
Those are all objective criteria that one can use. But in a 21st century economy where so much of what we do, so much of our economic strength rests upon things that are really invisible. For example, you and I right now are engaged in an economic activity
mm-hmm.
by virtue of the fact that I am speaking on the radio and so are you, and there are people who are listening. And even though we are not selling a third product, we are only selling this as a forum, it is an economic activity. There is an economic value to what we are doing that translates to a value for example, the frequency on which we broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of that, because it is so ephemeral, I think, is not really quantifiable. And so there's a part of the economy that is made up of things that you can count, like number of tractors exported, you know, and so forth.
Sure.
There's another part of the economy that rests, in my view, entirely on faith, that somehow by you managing to sell a certain number of people a certain number of life insurance policies valued at a certain amount, that this whole transaction has an economic significance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is in some way challenged, if the underlying faith is challenged in some way, then people lose faith in the economy. But if they're told, look, you know, Wall Street is booming, then we assume, well, it's safe to invest in Enron.
Got it.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Asha.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
It's 26 minutes after 3 o'clock. Good afternoon, Talk Back. You're up next, and you are on the air. Hello.
Yes, hello. How you doing? This is Mike from Queens.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Good to be on. I'd like to expand a bit upon what the other gentleman was saying about the phenomenon of reverse discrimination and how pervasive it is.
Okay, I think he was talking about reverse prejudice.
Reverse prejudice.
Yeah.
Reverse racism.
Okay.
It's pretty widespread, particularly in the academic universities and of higher learning and so on. I recently graduated from college, and the amount of propaganda, I'd have to call it, that goes on during the orientations and such, and I don't want to say this is perpetrated by blacks. Usually it's perpetrated by very left-wing whites who are prominent in academia.
Okay, but Mike, in the interest of time, you're going to have to tell me. You're going to have to be a little more specific than that. Give me an example of what you're talking about.
They'll say that whites are collectively responsible for pretty much every ill in the universe.
They who would say that?
That which means the vast majority of the academics.
Okay.
And this is what they tell all the students. They tell students that.
Mike, who are the vast majority of academics at the college that you attended?
Oh, who by name?
Not by name. I mean by ethnic or racial classification, as far as you were able to discern this.
I'd say most of them were white.
Okay, so you're saying that at the college that you attended,
mm-hmm.
You had a number of white college professors.
Right.
Telling impressionable students
right.
that other white people like themselves.
Yeah, that whites in general.
But whites in general, like themselves, are collectively responsible for most of the ills in the modern world.
In society. Have you ever heard of Susan Sontag?
Yes, I have.
She was the editor or something for the New York Times. She was once quoted as saying that whites are the cancer of human history.
Okay, except that I'm not going to address that because I'm not going to get into you know who said what, because you know you're saying right now what I'm saying right now, and as far as I'm concerned, the fact that somebody else said something doesn't give it any greater weight than the fact that you are saying it now. So let me hear what your thoughts are. So. Here's my question to you. Just after I let it be known that this is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, where it is now 30 minutes after the hour. It is now 3:30, and we're talking with Mike from Queens. The program is Talk Back, and I am Hugh Hamilton. Now, Mike, what you just said to me was that you've got a predominantly white faculty who are telling students at the college you attended that white people are collectively responsible for most of the ills in modern society.
Right.
Now, how is that tantamount to reverse anything?
Well, it's racism is what it is. It's collectively assigning blame to groups of people on the basis of race.
Okay, but where is the reverse section?
Well, the reason I use the term reverse is because racism, I think, is traditionally... was traditionally coined to refer to white-on-black racism. At the inception of the term, that's what it meant. Okay, just like anti-Semitism. If you look at the definition of anti-Semitism, it just means the hatred of Semitic people.
Right, yes, exactly.
Arabic people of any.
Yes, of course.
But in fact, if you look at the origin of the word, it was originally created to describe the specific hatred of Jews. So therefore, anti-Semitism, it defined, is not really the hatred of all Semitic people, it's the hatred of Jews. The same thing goes for racism. It was originally used to describe the phenomenon of whites hating blacks, which is why we call reverse discrimination blacks hating whites, or hatred of whites in general.
Well, you know, if we were to get to the original intent or the original meaning of most of the words that we use in contemporary vocabulary, I think that we can get involved in, we can become embroiled in a never-ending debate as to whether what something meant 500 years ago is what it is understood to mean today. My understanding today of what racism means is that it means the intentional targeting of a particular group of individuals, regardless of their race, by another group of individuals, regardless of their race, and where the targeting is on the basis of the perception of race, and moreover, by targeting I mean the intentional denial of or subjugation of the targeted group, that race, by another. So, for example, it is possible for you to have racism between Japanese and Koreans, or between Indians and Chinese, or between whites and Native Americans, or whatever, you can have that. So
right.
Where you're leaving me here shuffling is I'm trying to figure out, where do you want to go with this? What is your central point or thesis before we move on?
The central point is it's a serious problem.
What is a serious problem?
And it should be addressed. The demonization by the liberal leftist academia against Caucasian people.
Okay, but by your own admission, this liberal left that you're talking about is itself Caucasian predominantly, am I correct?
Yeah, so what?
No. So my question is, so what you're talking about then is the demonization by some white people of some other white people.
Yeah, but it's more than a fringe kind of thing.
I'm not suggesting it's fringe. I'm just trying to understand you. You're saying based on your college experience, you had this bunch of white faculty, predominantly white faculty, who were blaming whites in general for most of the ills of modern society.
Right.
Right, and I'm saying there's nothing reversed about that. It's a, you know, that would be like, well, you know what it is. It's a, you know, one group of white people blaming another group of white people for a set of things, and I don't see how that becomes a reverse racism. If you tell me that there is an ideological element to this, and that ideologically speaking, that there is an ideological group that targets others who do not share the same view and holds those people responsible for the majority of ills in modern society, then that's a whole different argument, because then it's based on ideology and not on race, you see?
Okay, I don't want to give the impression that it's only white on white.
I understand that.
If you look internationally as well, Pat Buchanan just wrote an interesting book called The Death of the West, I believe. It talks about the fact that whites in general are on their way out in the world.
Out of where? When you say out, what do you mean by that?
As far as the birth rates, it's predicted that by the year 2050, whites will be like only one-tenth of the world's population when they used to account for 30 or 40%.
And why is that, Mike?
It's due to a myriad of reasons. The main being cultural assault on Western, traditionally Western peoples.
Cultural what?
By Marxist ideology.
Cultural what? A cultural assault?
Yes.
Now,
on the traditions and institutions.
Mike, do you consider yourself a white person?
Yes.
Okay. How many children do you have?
None.
Okay, who is preventing you from having these children?
Oh, when I say assault, I don't mean assault in the traditional sense, I mean by force of arms or anything. It's more through the use of propaganda.
Mike, let me say this before I move on, okay? In most developed countries of the world, the birth rate is down across the board. Whether it is among white people or black people or people of Hispanic or Latino origin or any people at all. And you know why? Because the standard of living in most developed countries is tied directly to your ability to afford to provide a certain quality of life for your family. So that, and conversely, in many parts of the world where you have a high birth rate, that almost always correlates to poverty.
That's not true. I'll tell you why.
Okay, tell me why.
There's a population explosion in the third world.
Where do you mean by the third world? Pick a country, any country.
Africa.
Africa is not
a... The continent of Africa.
On the continent of Africa. Okay, there's a population explosion. Why is that?
I believe it's because of medical... advances that have been brought to Africa by the European countries.
Mike?
Mm-hmm.
You know...
I don't think, it's a myth that it's tied to poverty.
Mike, let me say this. Let me explain something to you before I move on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In Western societies, the birth rate is down largely because, A, contraceptives are widely available.
That's true.
B, because people have figured out that there is a relationship between the number of children you have and the kind of economy in which you function and your ability to maintain a certain standard of living. There are parts of the world in which the number of children that you have is actually tied to your economic prospects. And in such countries, the number of children you have would therefore be measured by an entirely different yardstick. Also, there are parts of the world where the infant mortality rate is so high that for many people who choose to have children, assuming that such a choice actually exists, because in many parts of the world, there are no condoms. There are no birth control pills. There are no spermicides. and other forms of contraceptive. They are simply not available. So that, and this idea that you are proposing now, that the white population is on the decline. Now, the white population would only be on the decline if the number of people who are white and who choose to have children were to choose not to have children. There's a trade-off involved here. And the thing about it is that the population of children being born into the world right now, it differs across the board based on where in the world you live. So if you find the average black family or Hispanic family or the average, you know, any family living in Western societies, you will find that these people tend to have fewer children. That has nothing to do with race.
It's a cultural thing. If you look at immigration,
no.
That plays into it. Also.
No, Mike, it does not play into immigration either in terms of the number of people who actually have children in certain parts of the world. It doesn't play into immigration. It simply plays into this simple fact that if you're like me, you're a black person and you come to live in America if you want to raise immigration. If you're a black person and you come to live in America, you realize that having 9 children is not going to be in your best interest, and therefore you avail yourself of the mechanisms that allow you to limit the size of your family in order to be able to access certain economic benefits as they are perceived. The equation... No, Mike, you're not going to give me anything else because I'm going to have to move on.
One last point.
No last point. But do call me again sometime. But no last point. I have spoken. It is now 3:41. Good afternoon. Talk back. You're on the air. Hello. Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, is this BAI?
As a matter of fact, it is.
Well, that's good.
And you are on the air.
I am.
To whom are we speaking?
You're speaking to Emily.
Emily, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Suffolk County, Long Island.
Okay, good afternoon, Emily, and
good
welcome
afternoon.
To the program.
Well, thank you very much. Is there a specific topic that you're indicating?
No, today is Throwdown Thursday. So today is the day when you get to decide what you want to talk about, you and all of the callers. And we go for it, and we have it, so to speak.
This is great. Well, this is my lucky day, and I'm really happy to talk about what I'm choosing to talk about today, and that's language.
Great.
Okay?
Yes.
I want to talk about language and the language system that is being used today is one that I think is not always easily understood by our own selves and also by other people. And I have done a course of study called The Language of Mastery, and this is a program in which I learned that certain words will be received by our mind, our brain, and can be acted on. And certain words, nothing will be done with those words. We will effort, we will try hard, we may spend lots of money on medicines and exercises, but the particular words that we may be choosing are ones that are not able to be understood by our own mind.
Okay, now, Emily, now that you've made that very grand pronouncement that is very vague and very abstract, relate this now to something practical to which we can all, in which we can all find some meaning.
That's great, because that's precisely what the language of mastery is about. It's about using words that are so specific that a 3-year-old could understand them.
Give me an example of what we're talking about here, Emily.
An example is, as a result of a diagnosis I had in 1995, I learned about affirmations, and I began to learn that I could say, I want to be healthy, and that in itself is even very vague. And so I learned that in translating that further and further into being so specific that a 3-year-old could understand it, that I needed to say, I choose to experience my body with ease, a full breath, with clear thinking, and then even peeling the onion layer back even more to take each one of those as a doorway and get even more specific about it. And so the language that I'm talking about is very literal, very clear, very specific, so that even a word like the may not work. For example, I choose to have the child I've always wanted. That may not get accepted by our own system because it is not a personalization of I choose to have my own child. And then even opening the doorways even further into how clear that has to be.
Okay, Emily?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to let you have another 30 seconds or so to conclude this point before we move on. So therefore, the message that you would like to leave us with is what?
The message that I'm choosing to leave you with is how important our words are and how important it is to be conscious that our words are actually the building blocks of creating our own life because they're our own instructions to ourselves.
Thank you very much, Emily.
Thank you. Could you put me on with an operator?
No, you're going to have to call our switchboard number at 212-209-2800. That's the switchboard here at the radio station. And
have
you
a
can,
great day, you.
I beg your pardon?
Have a great day.
Okay, thank you very much then, Emily.
You're welcome.
Okay, great. This is TalkBack, 212-209-2900 is our telephone number here to be on the air, and you are up next, and you're on. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, Hamilton.
Good afternoon.
Yes, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How do you do?
I'm fine.
To whom are we speaking, sir?
Oh, this is Pierre from Brooklyn.
Yes, Pierre.
Okay, I would like to talk since Monday. I have, well, after listening to Marjorie, being upset because of lack of information.
On whose part?
On my part, because and Marjorie's too, because she said she didn't know. There's a board meeting. She doesn't know about it.
Okay.
Where it's going to be held.
Okay, well, Pierre?
Yes.
Here's the thing. When I began this program, I said I will be accepting, whatever it is that you want to talk about within reason. And I imagine I don't know. I don't know what you heard when you spoke with or when you were listening to Marjorie. But I'll tell you what you can hear now. I do not know if and when there is going to be, and I assume you refer to be to a board meeting of Pacifica. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, a meeting of the Pacifica board. I do not know. I have heard that there is supposed to be a board meeting. I have heard that the venue and the time have been changing over the course of the week. I do not know. You'd have to call Pacifica to find that out, or you can call our switchboard at 209-2800 and ask to speak with our general manager or his representative who might be able to provide that information for you. But I don't know. And I would not engage in irresponsible speculation as to if and when there is going to be a board meeting, what the agenda is. I work here and I don't know this stuff. Because you are not going to provide any information to people on this issue because I don't know.
I'm trying to find out.
And this is
why
I'm saying here's the thing. Call this number, make a note of this. 212.
Yes.
209-2800. That is our switchboard here at WBAI.
Oh, that's BAI. Okay.
Yes. We are a part of the Pacifica network. We are a Pacifica station.
Right.
When you call, you should ask to speak with the general manager or his representative in order to obtain this information.
Okay.
If and when there is a board meeting, where it is to be held, to whom such a meeting is accessible, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Okay?
Now, what I really wanted to talk about is that I'm a new listener.
You're a new listener, yes, Pierre?
Yes. And I enjoy your program. I enjoy Marjorie's, and, you know, beautiful. But the problem that I've had since Monday, you know, is that she mentioned that there's a board. I don't know where this board, who is on that board.
Okay, Pierre, Pierre,
stuff like that.
Pierre,
I understand there's a compromise.
Pierre,
yes.
Pierre, as a new listener, I am once again directing you, if you would like to find out anything about the structure of the Pacifica Network, about the governance authority of the board, about the number of affiliates, where they are, where they can be located, who is in charge, and all, you have to call the number I just gave to you. It's a local call, and they will direct you accordingly.
Why is the management withholding this information from me and Marjorie?
Pierre, please. I just gave you as much information as you need to have. I just told you where you need to go to get the information that you want. What else do you want me to do to turn this into a situation in which I'm going to start? I don't know either. If I wanted to find, I've just told you what I would have to do if I wanted to find out. You're clearly more interested in this than I am, so call 212-209-2800 and they will direct your call accordingly. Come on. I'm trying to be helpful here, Pierre. It is now 10 minutes before 4 o'clock. Good afternoon, talk back. And I am Hugh Hamilton. You are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
How you doing today?
You tell me.
All right. I'm doing fine.
Okay, good.
This is Arthur from Brooklyn.
Arthur in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yes.
How you doing today? I have, you know, a little change of subject. I have a few poems, you know, for the respect of the listening audience. I'll read one. And
wait a minute. Arthur, did you call me? Did you call me off the air?
Yeah, I called you earlier in the weekend today.
You spoke. Yes, that's right. And you told me that you're a poet.
I'm sure you're a busy man.
Well, and you said that you're a poet and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yes, Arthur.
I did suggest
that you call today. Go ahead.
I usually write with the intention to help, you know?
Yes.
Just to address a few points. You know, I believe that racism is just somebody's just perception, you know what I mean? Racism goes across the board. You know, you have blacks who are prejudiced against, you know, their own blacks, you know, maybe from a different country, a different island, what have you. But I think we spend too much time on the problem and we don't have any solutions coming forth. So I'll go right into the poetry. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, please.
Okay, this one is called Living for Life's Sake. Living for life's sake, while exploring the world, there is a sense of belonging. Don't be too critical of yourself in the overview. Ignore those who try to trip up your strides toward wholeness. Life has bestowed her grace upon thee. May joy triumph over sadness every day, freeing your shadow with a dose of light. A rose in bloom attracts her winged mates to pollinate and replenish the land. So a flower can stand on stem, what say you, with four limbs? Not to mention it, the creative mind, a splendid tool of universal capacities and means. Call it the virtual there. Beautiful is the process of development from childhood to maturity. The silly questions that are asked by our children must be answered wisely and truthfully, for this is what governs the future of that inquisitive child's mind. Things adults take for granted are the stepping stones to a solid future for our youngsters. The newborn is keen to learn the ins and outs of life. What he interprets as righteous is what he carries as gospel. Innocence erodes with each passing day. As one becomes familiar with his surroundings, he begins to know himself. Hence, living begins. A willful attempt to disregard the leadership and example of the parent is a child in rebellion. This is normal. Yet the child is dependent on the parent for everything, including discipline, which must be delivered firm yet humanely. Society tends to mold new members into its norms. The mold is waiting for you to conform to it, to its dimensions. Those who don't adapt are ousted from the club. The created environment leans on individuals determining one's course. Quickly, you're becoming a competitor. very rarely do you become a team player. Like Mama would say, everybody wants a winner. To lose is to become a hot potato. You burn to the touch. The key is to put your faith in the Creator. He will never disregard you or put you on hold. Peace.
Arthur?
Yes.
In Brooklyn?
Yes.
I want to thank you very much.
Okay.
For your presentation, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It is now 6 minutes before the hour. Good afternoon. Talk back. And this is... you're up next. Yes. Hello.
Good afternoon, you.
Good afternoon.
This is Joe from Paramus.
Joe in Paramus. Talk to us.
Well, I'd like to stand up for Pierre a little bit here.
Okay.
Unfortunately, see, when he tuned in on Monday, you know, he was told that he was needed to come out, show up, and voice support.
Okay, good. We're talking about here, we're talking Joe, you said?
Yes.
Joe in Paramus.
I'm not trying to go into that issue.
No. I understand. You're saying, but you are Joe in Paramus.
Yes, I am.
Okay, is your radio on, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, please turn it down. I will hold for you. Okay, good. All right, fine. Yes.
Well, you know, he was told we need you urgently to show up on Friday and voice your support for the current programming of WBAI. And he's quite earnestly, several days later, still trying to find out where he's expected to be.
Okay, and
he
this
want to voice his support.
Yes, and this is why I indicated to him that it might be a good idea for him to call our switchboard number at 212-209-2800 in order to get any additional information. But while you're on the air, Joe, let me. I see my colleague Marjorie Moore. To whom Pierre referred earlier. So just let me ask Marjorie to address this particular issue immediately so that we can put it to bed. How is that?
Sure.
Okay, Joe? All right, good. So stand by. Good afternoon, Marjorie. How are you?
Hi.
But you see, you're here so early and you're here so late and you always look as fresh as a rose. How is that?
I just woke up from a 3-hour nap.
Oh, good for you. Yeah.
Went for a walk. It's very warm outside.
Oh, yes, it is. Quite so.
So it's, I've heard people calling in all
week
Monday about the meeting. And the problem, folks, is that, yes, we want you definitely to turn out to the board meeting. However, we have not been officially informed of a proper location so that we can verify it and then give it to you. But we wanted you to be on standby, dear community, because you are needed. Yes, we want you to turn out as many of you as possible and claim your station. We are here for the people who supported us during that $1 million drive. Lots of you are new to the station, like Pierre, and we want you to find out as much as you can about the station and venues for you to participate. So when we get here a proper, verifiable location, we will give it to you as quickly as we can, probably all day long. But the location has been moving and changing and like a bouncing ball, and that's unfortunate. All right?
Yeah, right. So Marjorie, mm-hmm. Is there... I have been saying to people, I said to Pierre, because when Pierre called, and as you know, I generally do not entertain a discussion of... discussions about which I'm not knowledgeable. So, you know, how should Joe, how should anyone, what should they do? Should they keep listening to the radio or should they call? I have told them to call the switchboard.
Both are good. You can listen to the radio. For example, if our station manager, Bob Daughtry, gets a location that he's comfortable with and can verify, he will give it to the producers and the on-air hosts, and then that would be the line of order, and then we would pass it on to the community. When he hasn't gotten it yet, so as soon as he gets it, for example, if it comes in this afternoon, the producers that are on now through the evening will have it, or we'll make a cart, no doubt, or I'll have it in the morning at 6 o'clock. But as soon as we are as anxious as you are, let's put it that way, to get the proper location.
So as soon as we have it, there will be a formal public service announcement.
Absolutely.
But at this point, I don't know, you don't know,
right.
None of us knows, here at the station.
But the key to good turnout is early notification.
Well, then we have to tell that to the board, the Pacifica board, the interim board. But that they are the ones. In other words, when you do attend the meeting, you need to say you weren't told in time. The information was not passed along to the local station here, WBAI, in a timely manner. So we are on edge, just like you are, listener. And as soon as we get it, we want you to have it. It's not something we want to withhold. Okay?
Okay, Jill.
Fair enough.
All right, thanks a lot. Hey, look, Marjorie, no, it's always a pleasure. It's like a breath of fresh air when you come into the studio.
Oh, so sweet.
So much so that right after I let it be known that this is WBAI 99.5 FM in Nueva York, where it is now 4 o'clock, right after I let that be known, I'm going to take a break so that I can talk some more with you
okay.
before we return, just for a short while, though,
Good.
Because I do